Thank you. I contemplate a tree, wrote the German-Israeli philosopher Martin Buber, as he considered the meaning of words in the book entitled I and Thou. I contemplate a tree, he wrote. I can accept it as a picture, a rigid pillar in a flood of light, or splashes of green traversed by the gentleness of the blue-silver ground. I can feel it as movement, the flowing veins around the sturdy, striving core, the sucking of the roots, the breathing of its leaves, the infinite commerce with earth and air, and the growing itself in the darkness. I can assign it to a species and observe it as an instance with an eye to its construction and its way of life. I can overcome its uniqueness and form so rigorously that I recognize it only as an expression of the law, those laws according to which a constant opposition of forces is continually adjusted, or those laws according to which the elements mix and separate. I can dissolve it into a number, into a pure relation between numbers, and eternalize it. Throughout all of this time, the tree remains my object and has its place in time and space, its kind and condition. But it can also happen, if will and grace are joined, that as I contemplate the tree, I am drawn into a relation, and the tree ceases to be an it. The power of exclusiveness has seized me. This does not require me to forego any of the modes of contemplation. There is nothing that I must not see in order to see, and there is no knowledge that I must forget. Rather is everything, picture and movement, species and instance, law and number, included and inseparably fused. Whatever belongs to the tree is included, its form and its mechanics, its colors and its chemistry, its conversion with the elements and its conversation with the stars. All this in its entirety. The tree is no impression, no play of my imagination, no aspect of a mood. It confronts me bodily and has to deal with me as I must deal with it, only differently. One should not try to dilute the meaning of the relation. Relation is reciprocity. Does the tree then have a consciousness? Similar to our own? I have no experience of that. What I encounter is neither the soul of a tree nor a wood nymph, but the tree itself. What more need be said? That if we were able to relate to trees and our partners, our neighbors, this earth, and all of life in the way Buber describes, ours would indeed be a different planet, a beloved community indeed. That if we could hold on to that way of being in relationship with trees and all of life, we would not be reading as we did in the past week or two, and I quote, "The beloved aspen forests that shimmer across the mountainsides of the American West could be doomed. End quote. This from the New York Times. Nor would we be hearing of a report in a recent issue of the magazine Nature that trees in the Amazon forests, the Amazon rainforests, are being choked by levels of carbon, that which they need to breathe. They're being choked by levels of carbon too high for them to take in, and more of them will, of course, be dying. Perhaps if we were in I-thou relationships with trees and others, regardless of what are the facts of our part in the current state of the earth, we would have done what we knew we could to care for the earth long ago. We would not have allowed this beautiful blue planet to have skies tinged by the brown of so many pollutants or its deep aquifers depleted, because we would have been so deeply attuned to the truth that we are indeed members of an interconnected web of all existence. In her book, Active Hope, subtitled How to Face the Mess We're In Without Going Crazy, Joanna Macy cited John Seed, an Australian environmentalist, founder of the Rainforest Information Center and advocate for rainforests around this earth. I believe Seed understands the nature of I and thou. I try to remember that it's not me, John Seed, he said, trying to protect the rainforest. Rather, I am a part of the rainforest protecting itself. I am that part of the rainforest recently emerged into human consciousness. End quote. In a world of I and thou, there simply is. No need for language or names, no need for measures or comparisons, no objectifications, distinct from the everyday, but a possibility every day. Simple presence, simple moments. I thou moments don't last, except in our memory. Intense expressions of pure joy, unconditional love, wonder, and welcome. A welcome, holy sense of being connected with all, of really being connected with all that is. David O'Neill is the author of a sweet little book, What Do You Say to a Child When You Meet a Flower? What do you say? If he were in conversation with Martin Buber, I imagine that he might say it is wonder that opens the door to an I-thou encounter. Wonder and intention. Although I suspect Buber would say I-thou encounters are not intentional, rather than us beckoning to someone or something out there, they call us forth. But this might be the way it would go if I-thou encounters were conscious events, if indeed we were to be intentional in our various meetings. And if they were intentional, might not this world sing a different song? To test out what I mean, O'Neill writes, take your child with you for a walk. If you have no child who is 2 or 3 or 5 years old, find a niece or a nephew or the child of a neighbor. This was written in the 70s, folks. No neighbors these days, right? Right from the beginning, give away everything in you except being present. Give away your grown-upness and your worries and your anxieties. Give away your guilty feeling about wasting time. Give away your feeling of being too important to be taking a child ever so seriously. And what, after all, will people think? Give it all away. Just be yourself, totally. Stop at the first tree. He actually writes flower, but we're talking about trees, so I'm substituting tree where he wrote flower. Stop at the first tree you see. If you're like most grown-ups, you will be wondering what to say, how to share all the things you know about trees. But those facts don't help you meet the child. You can give your lesson on trees, but you have not met the child. You haven't met the tree either. If you want to be real, you will be a person and meet the tree. You may pause with courtesy and simply experience the joy of meeting the beauty of life in this tree. If you feel free, you will enter into wonder. The whole of you will be open for sharing, mind and heart, hand and voice, imagination and fantasy. You will be full of the joy of being alive. You will have the joy of sharing yourself with the child. Together, you will be present at the life and beauty and being of the tree, a wordless experience, a sensing of presence and of joyful wondering. What do you say to a child when you meet a tree? To begin with, you say nothing. Sayal Rinpoche, the Buddhist teacher and author of the Tibetan Book of Living and Dying, offers the words in summary with which I close. Think of a tree. When you think of a tree, you tend to think of a distinctly defined object. But when you look at it more closely, you will see that it has no independent existence. When you contemplate it, you will find that it dissolves into an extremely subtle net of relationships that stretch across the universe. The rain that falls on its leaves, the wind that sways it, the soil that nourishes and sustains it, all form part of the tree. As you think about the tree, more and more you will discover that everything in the universe helps make the tree what it is, that it cannot be isolated from anything else, and at every moment, its nature is subtly changing. To contemplate a tree, what more need be said? We are all. We are one. What more need be done? Let us sing together hymn number 174. O Earth, you are surpassed.